Oh, wow. I didn't know you were going to bring boxing cheese.
It's because I normally have it this morning, but I didn't.
You didn't have boxing?
No, I didn't have it this morning because I thought I was teaching at this drum camp and it's next week.
Gotcha.
I called him. I don't know if you know Freddie G. He works for Natal.
I know the name, but I don't know if I've met him yet.
It's like me, Steve. I'm like the guest for one day, but Steve White, Craig Blundell, and another two drummers. And I called him up last night and I was like, mate, I'm just a bit nervous. I don't know what I'm going to. I've never taught 20 people all at once, you know, like this is going to be intense. What kit do I need? And I didn't let him talk for about 15 minutes. And he was like, Eddie, it's next week. And I was like,
shut up.
Oh, thank fuck for that.
One, two, three, four.
I was like,
that's so awesome.
Mate, I was panicking, I was stressing, and it was so nice. You know, it was getting later and later. And I was looking at my drum kit thinking, I'm going to have to pack this down. And then he said it's next week. And I just. So I'll probably leave it until the night before next week.
And then you'll call him again.
And then I'll call him again. Yeah.
Okay. So what do I need? By the way, is it sold out or can people still sign up?
I think it's sold out. Yeah.
It's sold out.
It's a really small, I say small, it's like 20 people. For that.
20 people is a legit thing.
I think it's a camp and then there's more people for like that come in for an hour and then leave, I think.
I gotcha. How cool is that?
Yeah, it's cool. Basically, he asked me to do it and I was like, oh, I can't. I'm in America. And then when America canceled, I called him up and said, actually, mate.
Stop bringing it up. Can we stop? Look, starting next episode, we're going to start the episode by saying like, how sick was that?
Yeah.
Like we finally got to hang again. We filmed a ton of content. We're just going to act as if it happened.
Yeah, I might.
And that's going to be that.
You know the Zoom backdrops you can do. I might just put your studio as my Zoom backdrops.
Great call. I'll send you a screensaver.
Yeah, cool.
I got your back, buddy. Hey, we're in.
We're live.
Episode 49. We're going. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, man. I'm good, man. I'm very fired up about this episode. I'm excited about it.
It's gonna be a blast for sure. But before we get into that, so you are doing something. This is crazy. So next week, you're doing a guest spot at a camp with your teacher.
Yeah.
Steve White.
Yeah, yeah.
At the exact same time, I will be in Alabama doing a clinic with my teacher, Will Kennedy.
Mate, brothers from another mother, mate.
I'm telling you, when people are like, there's multiverses and every time you make a decision, it splits off into a new timeline and a new universe. I'm like, no. I'm just living in the UK. My name's Eddie Thrower over there. That's my other life.
Yeah, man, I'm nervous about it because I just haven't seen another drummer in so long. And yeah, it's 20 people at a time, apparently. Like 1 hour lessons, but three of them in a day. So yeah, morning, afternoon.
Okay,
and
a new batch of 20 cycles in?
Yeah.
So you only have to do like you just have to come up with your 1 hour set.
Yes, exactly.
And they think that you're just kind of teaching off the cuff.
Mate, I said to him, I was like, 3 hours, okay. I don't know if I can do it, mate. And then he said, I was just the same hour. And I was like, sign me up. sign me up.
Dude, it's so funny when AJ... Roussel said the same thing to me about the camp that you and I are doing in October. And he's like, well, you just teach the same thing all day and we just bring in a new batch of people. I was like, well, can I just ask them what they want to learn? And then I make up a full clinic in the moment. And he's like, you could, you don't have to. And I'm like, I can't teach the same thing three times in a row. It'll drive me nuts. Exactly. I gotta reinvent the wheel every time. And then I'm sure they'll all be at dinner and they'll be like, yeah, my class kind of sucked. Oh, you should have come to the 2 p.m. He really nailed it there.
Yeah. He was flagging by 5 p.m.
he said, let me teach you the reality of social media, all right? This is going to ruin your life by 5 p.m.
So what's your clinic like? So what are you doing?
Oh my gosh. I can't even explain how excited I am because I did this thing last time it happened. So like 2.5 years ago, I got invited to do this clinic by a guy named Marcus Pope, who, by the way, do you ever have any of those people in your life where you think you know who they are, and then when you finally meet them, you're like, I definitely mixed up your name. I thought on Instagram you were somebody totally different. I didn't want to do this thing. But my teacher, Will Kennedy, had reached out and said, hey, it's a favor to me. Can you do this clinic? I was like, ah. He's just like that braggadocious dude on Instagram that never shuts up about like his chops and blah, blah, blah. And I just don't care. Yeah, I'll do it. favor to my mentor, happy to do it. I get there, Marcus Pope, the real Marcus Pope, picks me up at the airport, and I'm like, you're not the guy I thought you were. And he was the sweetest man I've ever met in my life. Like, instantly I was like, can you take care of my wife if I die? Can we just sign you up for that right now? Because you're such a sweetheart. And so, and then it just trickled down from there. The event is in Huntsville, Alabama, and we do the clinic during the day at his school, Marcus Pope School. And it was amazing. It's called the Back to Basics Drum Workshop. And then later that night, there's a arts center where we go and do a concert for the entire city. It's open to the public. And we have a full backing band. And these are some of the best musicians in the world. I mean, these cats play for D'Angelo and Jill Scott. And it's me, Will Kennedy, JD Blair, Daryl Tibbs on percussion, Marcus Pope. And there's four kits on the stage and a full percussion rig and a full band. And we play like 15 songs and we all play and we all have a lot of fun. And then at some point they just kind of point to you and they're like, Mike Johnson, take a solo. And you take a solo. And it is the greatest. And as soon as I came home, I told Amber, sign me up for that for the rest of time. I never want to miss a year of that because my soul needs it. Like Huntsville, Alabama really wasn't on my top 10 list until I came home. And then I told everyone I could, if you can get to Huntsville, Alabama and experience just the joy that is surrounding that place and the vibe that's there and what this drum community is doing, it's incredible. So here are the details. This will be on Saturday, August 7th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. is the drum clinic. So I'll give you guys the details as far as how to sign up and everything in a second. And then later that night it looks like I only have the clinic details, but if you come to the clinic, you're going to know everything about the concert. The concert is in the evening at a club. So anyways, August 7th in Huntsville, Alabama. If you need any info, I'm going to make it easy for you. Just email amber@mikeslessons.com, amber@mikeslessons.com. She will get you all the info. I really mean this. This isn't a thing where I'm putting it on or I need it to sell out. Like no matter what happens, I hate to make it this cut and dry. My pay is the same, whether one person shows up or 1,000 people show up. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If you are within 5 hours driving distance of Huntsville, Alabama, please try to make it to this event. When you leave, your faith in humanity will be restored. That is how insane this whole event is. And it's just good people trying to help each other out. And when you leave, you're like, yeah, I'm stoked about drums. I'm stoked about being a better person. And I met a bunch of new friends. So if you're anywhere near Huntsville, Alabama, and you are free on Saturday, August 7th, email amber@mikeslessons.com. She will get you all of the info.
Banging. I'm sold, mate.
Okay. So you're coming out. You're within 5 hours.
Yeah. I'm getting. On
your private jet. On your private jet. Yeah, go ahead.
I've got a cheeky game. Well, it's not a game, actually. It's just a little Q&A. I've got one of my favorite podcasts is called The High Performance Podcast. And it's amazing. It's run by a guy who used to commentary on the F1 and Match of the Day here in England, BBC presenter. And then also I think he's like a therapist or a psychologist. I don't know what he is, but he's a smart guy. Okay. Anyway, they talk to F1 drivers. The guy who, you need to listen to this one actually. The guy who is in charge of Mercedes.
Toto Wolff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Toto is the man. Toto's my he's my new Steve Jobs.
Oh my okay. Mate, this episode will change your life, basically. It's about
how much of a boss is Toto Wolff?
Mate, I was listening because I don't really know much about
Toto
Mercedes.
Wolf, I will crush you.
Yeah. And he was just like, you know, just talking about how he does things and why he does things and things like that. And it was just life changing. So it's an amazing podcast. You've got to listen to it. High Performance Podcast.
I'm in.
It's great. And they do a segment at the end of each episode, which is kind of like quick fire questions. And all of these questions, apart from two, there's only four, to be honest. So I'll give myself half the credit, are in the High Performance Podcast. So
okay.
I wanted to just, they're themed upon mindset. So I thought I'd chuck them your way because I have never really asked you these questions before. So the first one is, what's your three non-negotiables? Three things that you have to do or live by or swear by. Your three non-negotiables.
Forward momentum. No getting out. If I don't have forward momentum every single day in some aspect of my life, it was a wasted day. Kindness is something that I struggle with. Like, you know, the real me, and I am an asshole. Like, I am like, I see all of the, I almost see the world through a comedian's eyes. Like, I see the way to make fun of something before anyone else will see it. And it's on a daily basis. I have to talk myself out of it to be kinder. So forward momentum, kindness, and then tinkering. I have to mess with something every single day to see if it could possibly be better. It just like Amber, it drives Amber nuts. She's like, it was fine and now it doesn't work. And I'm like, I know, but on the way to it not working, I might've found a new solution to make it better.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. So, okay.
Forward momentum, kindness, and tinkering.
They're good. They're good. Okay. What advice would you give to Mike starting out now? So Mike starting Mike's lessons.com right now. Deep.
I would literally tell him, he wouldn't believe it, but I would tell him the joy is in the journey. And he would be like, I'd like some money, please. And I will tell him, I promise you the joy is in the journey. Like, if you're in this for the right reasons, you'll be in this for the next 3 to 4 decades of your life. So please don't be obsessed on the numbers. You know, honestly, I mean, I hate to sound kind of weird, but I felt like when you first reached out to me, it was my chance to talk to my younger self.
Yeah.
Because you were in a place that I was, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I wasn't giving you advice for your sneaker business. It was like, dude, you're doing online drum lessons on a membership-based website. I did that and I'm still doing it. Like, yeah. Let me help you. And, and I mean, I think it was shocking to both of us, like how legit the help was. Like, even Amber was like, so why are you helping this guy? And I'm like, well, because he's really good at the drums and he's better looking and he can take my business at any moment he wants. And she's like, so why are you helping him? I'm like, I have no idea. Maybe because he's British. I like the voice. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, yeah, but it was.
And I remember you reaching out and being like, so are you just steering me down the wrong direction and calling it advice?
That happened to me so many times. I'd be like lying in bed and being like, oh, that really helped me. Wait a second.
That son
is
of a
he
bitch.
Playing me in a smart way that I can't even see right now? I had to question it. But then I quickly realized
I would just tell the younger Mike, dude, enjoy the journey. The ups and downs, you can't get out of them. There's nothing you can do to sidestep the downs, but you will learn from all of them.
Yeah, definitely agree, mate. 100%. It's the same with being in a band, you know, like the memories that I look back at now, yeah, you know, you've done some cool shows and done some cool shit, but at the end of the day, the memories that stick out in my mind are the ones of me like in Mike's mum's kitchen playing on an electric kit, writing this album, or like being so broke that we were like, you know, doing illegal things.
Oh, we totally had the, can you get me, you know, circle going around, like, can you get me on this one? And then we'll get paid on Wednesday and then I can get you on the next one. I wonder about, I don't want to sidetrack your game, but when you said the memories of being in a band, it just instantly occurred to me. I was trying to think about the moment that we signed our record deal and I have zero memory of it.
Yeah, mate.
I don't remember ever signing a record deal. Yeah. I know that one day I was not signed and then the next day I was, but I don't remember. I remember a few things. I remember showcasing because that was a long process. We rented a place in LA and a label would come in. Some of them, like Sony, would show up in force, like 40 people in this room. We'd play 3 songs. They would leave with our manager. Then Atlantic would come in and it would just be the A&R and no one else. We'd play 3 songs. He'd leave. Then Interscope, Geffen. I remember that whole process because it was such a big process. But at some point we chose Hollywood Records. They were owned by Disney. They had a lot of money. And I don't remember signing a record deal.
Yeah, it's weird.
And I know,
man.
I did. You know. Yeah, but like you said, like I can remember my first rehearsal with Simon Says in someone's living room when I was 16 years old. Mate, I can remember it like it was yesterday.
I had a weird thought the other day. I was like sitting somewhere. I think I was driving actually. And I remembered like being somewhere in America and having that we could afford to eat from tips. So when we realized on the merch tables, people were tipping, I was like, well, we're not selling any merch because no one likes our band. We're on the wrong tour.
Right. Right.
So we just had signs that literally said, can you help us afford to eat? And people would put money in the bucket.
Shut up.
Anyway, one day no one was tipping. So me, I think it was me and Deck, maybe the bass player, we just had to go up to Domino's Pizza and literally say, guys, we've got no money. Like, can you sort us out? And Domino's Pizza gave us two large free pizzas.
Shut
and we just
up.
Sat there. Mate, it was so weird. I remember thinking about it, like, because I think Domino's was opposite the venue. So we were like hanging outside and playing football and stuff all day. And they could see we were there. And I think right. we went in to check how much they were, got talking. And we just said, yeah, we've got zero money. And they were like, don't worry. They came out with two free pizzas. Crazy.
Bro, I still remember the era of all of our lives that we go through where you're broke enough that you have to constantly ask how much things are.
Yeah.
Like, how much is the cookie? And they're like, a dollar. And then you sit there and ponder and you're like a dollar with tax or without tax?
But that was the
and
killer.
Then you walk out.
We're not used to that. So we used to go to Walmart and be like,
tax
yes.
will shut you down.
I can afford a Clif Bar. You know what? Sweet. Yes. I can eat for the
one
day.
One Clif Bar. Yes. That's my meal replacement bar is a Clif Bar.
It's a joke. Anyway, back onto the question.
Moving on.
One thing you must do to maintain or achieve a healthy mindset.
Oof, man. Oh, man. I don't think it's daily for me. I think that I do that in larger chunks. So like maybe weekly or monthly, and then I get reset, lasts for like 20 or 30 days, and then I have to do it again. And for me, it's either a drive, a long drive, or floating in a float tank. I have to carve out time to say nothing is happening. So for me, driving is very similar to being in a float tank because I don't text when I drive. I don't check my phone. Like when I get into a car, I put my phone face down on the ground of the passenger side and that's it because unless I'm sending you voice notes. And that's just because like, you know, it's just too dangerous. So anyways, when I get in a car and I drive, my mind can kind of just flush everything. All the crap goes away and I can just enjoy. And I have I live in Northern California. So we have a couple really great windy roads that at some point you just zone out and everything. I guess it's weird. Like the way that I would describe a float tank or a sensory deprivation tank and a long drive is that it just allows all of the crap that's on top of your desktop to just move over to the recycle bin. And then when it's over, whatever's left on your desktop are the documents that really matter. And so I need that about every 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay. So one thing that you try to ignore or not do to maintain a healthy mindset.
Oof. You know, I don't want to blanket it as social media, but sometimes it's just, it's weird. Social media has triggers for me. There's days where I can look at social media and I would include YouTube, Instagram. I don't really ever look at the main feed on Facebook because I just use Facebook for my website's group. But Instagram and YouTube, and maybe I guess a little bit of Twitter now that I'm putting more photos up there. But it's weird. I can go 2-3 days and just be like, social media is the bomb. Like I grew so much through these YouTube videos and I love, like there's nothing better than when I do go to the Instagram main feed and I notice that I've double tapped on 10 posts in a row. I feel like I'm following the right accounts because I loved every post that came up. I didn't have to keep scrolling. Then the next day, it's a weird thing where it's just like, that son of a gun. How dare you frame your symbols and put them in a diagonal order in reclaimed wood frames, you know? And I lose it and it takes me down this downward spiral. And the problem is, it doesn't happen every day. If it happened every day, I'd just cut social media out of my life. I have really great days with social media where I feel like I'm giving to it and I'm making it a better environment and the people that I'm following are making it a better environment. And then I just see one thing and it kind of, so I don't know if I have anything to avoid, but I definitely have more to put in. And you and I talked about this on our motivation podcast, how it is weird to know like that there are, you're going to send me the link to a podcast with an interview with one of my heroes, Toto Wolff. But somehow I will neglect to listen to it until I'm ready for it because I might be in a lazy mood and I'm like, well, I don't want to be fired up right now.
Yeah.
And I need to get over that where it's like, you, if you want to succeed in this thing, you're going to need to be fired up quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is hard. So, it's very hard. Because then when you're not fired up, you give yourself, you know, you put pressure on yourself and you're like, why am I not? And then you do things, you know, you're not doing it as well. And then you get annoyed and then you get frustrated. But you nailed it before, like you said many times, when the tide is out, the tide is out. And when it's in, it's in. Surf,
you just baby. Take advantage of it. Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. I have a question for you, by the way. Okay. Fantastic game, because we got deep, and I will definitely bring some deep questions for you next week. But quick one question game, because I have I have my answer, so I'm only asking you so I can say my version.
Okay, all right.
Okay, can we just be honest? I don't even care what you have to say. Okay. If you could take any phrase from American slang and just move it into your world and none of your British friends would question it, what do you wish you could say constantly that if you did say it, like if I called any of my friends mates, my friends would say, you're hanging out with Eddie too much. Like, you can't use that here. So what phrase would you like to take from us where you're like, I wish I could say that, but if I did, I would sound like I'm trying to be American.
Ah, it's a good one. There's a few, like, yo is quite good. Like, yo. It's like English people do say it, but it doesn't have the same effect.
So you guys don't go, yo.
We do, but it's just like, doesn't really sort of have like the same.
Do you guys ever get falsetto? Like, what up?
Yo, sometimes, what up? But we like have to do it in an American accent. I think, what are the, like for sure, like I listen, a lot of the sneaker vlogs I listen to, they're always like, oh yeah, appreciate you. And it's like, yeah, for shout.
For sure.
Yeah, I like for sure. Yeah. I think for sure is pretty sweet. But
okay.
If I say it, it's like oh, for sure. Yes. It like does it's just like what the fuck? Yes. What are you saying? Yes, for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
Yeah. That's a big one in the athletic world for us. I would say about a year ago, everyone switched to appreciate you.
Yes.
You know, so that's it's like appreciate you, bro.
And it's like for sure.
And It's exactly. And it's never, I appreciate you. It's appreciate you.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of like, that's the new thank you. Like, I mean, honestly, you'll watch a guy sign a $40 million contract and then he'll slap the manager of hands like, appreciate you. And I'm like, I would appreciate your entire freaking world if you gave me $40 million.
Okay. Yeah, what about you?
Here's the one that I need.
All right.
I just, and this may be only because I listen to a lot of British auto podcasts. But for the drum world and for sneakers and like everything, I just want to be able to say, fair bit of kit that.
Fair bit of kit that.
Oh, so wonderful. Just to like walk up to somewhere at NAMM and say, fair bit of kit that. Yeah, oh, but that, I can't because I can't say it with my accent.
That's definitely like a thing that we say around here. Like, oh, that's a bit, if you walked up to, I mean, I say it quite a bit, like, oh, nice pair of sneakers, that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, that.
Oh.
Right there. So that means right there.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah.
Yeah. And every time, like, there's a British auto podcast and they're talking about, like, the new Porsche GT4, like, oh, fair bit of kit, that.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah, that is a thing that I didn't really notice before. You know, like you'd be like, "Oof, that's a good sounding drum." That,
yeah, right there. Yeah, and we don't say that.
Yeah,
like, we would put that in the beginning of the sentence, like that right there is a nice sounding drum set.
Yeah,
but you guys say nice sounding drum set. That
nice sounding kit. That
wonderful. Okay, real quick before we get into our main topic, which is mindset, we do need to mention the sad passing of a legend, an absolute goat of the metal scene, Joey Jordison. To say that I would definitely put Joey up there with a very, very small group of people that honestly contributed to the fact that we even have a drum industry right now.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how many sales he was directly responsible for just by being who he was as a player, who he was as a person, who he was as a character, and letting us in. I remember the first time I saw him in Modern Drummer without a mask and I was like, oh
yeah,
mate, I only knew his mask.
I used to like try and Google Slipknot without their masks. There was a point in time where like no one knew what they looked like, and then he did another band called like Murder Dolls and stuff, and I was like, oh my god, that's what he looks like. Yeah, mate, it's sad, man, because like, you know, we need, I feel like drummers like him are so hard to come by, where you see him and you don't have to have the slightest bit of interest in drums at all. And you watch Joey and you're like, right, I'm picking up a pair of drumsticks, you know? And that's what I did. I watched him, Lars, Travis, all those people. And it was just amazing, man. Yeah. Bless him.
But yeah, I think that's one of those things that people underestimate, is how influential he was. When I think about somebody's influence on drumming, I don't think just about what did that person do to people that play drums. I think about who now plays drums and didn't, and they never would have without that person existing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when people would dog out Lars or Travis or Questlove or anyone that's just massively influential, I would just be like, ask any drummer why they started playing. I bet one of those people would probably show up in their answers. And Joey is one of those people, especially for a lot of metal drummers or people that got into drumming through metal. And I think, man, I'm trying to remember. I haven't Googled it, so I don't remember. But I think he was playing D drum for a while.
Yeah, he was.
Is that right?
Yeah. I remember buying the Joey Jordison signature snare drum, mate. That was an absolute belter. The all black pearl. Mate, it was nice.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like laser engraved, right?
Yep.
That thing was amazing. Yep. Well, to all the Joey Jordison fans out there, we are sorry for your loss. To his family, obviously, we're sorry. And I hope all of you know that your hero made a massive impact on the drum industry. And, you know, when you and I talk about success and growth and all this stuff, in the end, I think all we want is legacy. We want to live on after we're not here. And Joey actually absolutely will live on forever because he was a hero. So, all right, let's get into mindset. Not an easy thing to talk about because it's a bit out there. Like, how do you describe your mindset to somebody else? Like, it's in your mind. You never have to verbalize it because it's in your head and you know what it is.
Yeah. And you never really have to for me, I don't really like overthink it. It's like I'm either in a positive mindset or I'm not, you know. It's like you don't really describe it. Absolutely. It's very, very difficult.
Do you have a different mindset for business than you do for like getting ready for this clinic/camp that you're doing?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I have a different mindset for everything apart from like drums. I have a mindset for drums and then a different mindset for everything else, basically. It's so weird. Like drumming is just such a personal reflection of you and your creative efforts and how you are as a person. And it's weird. I have to get into this mindset of like, you know, just it's imposter syndrome. It's complete imposter syndrome all the time with drums. Am I good enough? Is it good enough? Is this good enough? Should I be doing this? Will anyone care?
And what about once you get there? Do you deserve the attention you're getting?
Yeah, exactly. You know? And it's like, I have to put myself in a mindset of just turn down all the noise, like completely stop overthinking, stop overanalyzing, because otherwise my mindset is literally just procrastination and not doing anything. Yeah. You know, it's like I have to, and it's really bizarre because, you know, like I'm a confident player and I know that people enjoy the music I've played, the bands that I've been in and all these kind of things. But, you know, if I'm not in the right mindset, I won't do anything. I will literally put off practicing, put off recording, put off playing and find reasons and things like that. And then when it comes to other areas of life, I'm like, boom, get up and go. Don't overthink it. Do this, do that. It's just weird. So mindset plays a massive part on like, you know, how a lot of people become successful or do this for a living. I think, you know, like I listened to a song the other day and it was like a rap song and it was amazing. And it was talking about his doubts in his head and how, you know, if only these doubts in his head weren't there, he would be doing this or he would be doing that. And it's so true. I think mindset is such an important thing within music to get better, do it as a living and smash your dreams and goals, basically. So it's a very important thing to be in a positive mindset. Yeah.
I think so. And I think, you know, it's funny, like what that rapper was talking about. It's like when we look back on our childhood and the things that we signed up to do as kids, like, drum contests? Yeah, I'll do it. Shirtless? Sure. I mean, if somebody said, hey, you need to do this drum contest outdoors on a stage shirtless right now to me, I'd be like, no problem. I just need 5 years to train my body.
Yeah.
And then I need, you know, another five to get the solo ready. And then I'll probably talk myself out of it. Like, but at 15, I was like, yeah, let's go. Actually, at 15, I signed up for the drum contest. And I was like, it's a bit hot. Took off the shirt and was like, let's go. When they called my name. And then I just went, I just did triplets the entire time and got up going, boom. And then like a bunch of 30-year-old guys, pros, got up and just crushed me. And I still just thought, nailed it. Yeah. I'm going to be shocked if they don't read out my name. Is, like,
is that childhood like mentality?
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Yeah, like I on this high
the
performance.
Ignorance.
Yeah, the ignorance. And this, on this high performance podcast that I was talking about, it's so funny because they talk about, they talk to this rugby player and he basically is saying that he is constantly trying to chase that mentality and that thinking of a child when he was a child, where
really,
if he wanted to be an astronaut, then he was. That was it. That was just literally it. And, you know, yeah, if he wanted to be a professional, I don't know, whatever, he was that. And then when you're an adult, these your mindset completely controls what you actually do when you could actually do it anyway. You know, it's so bizarre.
With mindset, you just have to understand that it can go as deep as you want it to go. My mindset for business has changed quite a bit since when I started. My first business was, actually, I guess for most drum teachers, our first business is when we start teaching, because it's the first time you're responsible for not being on a wage and you can have as much or as little money as you want based off of how many students you get. And most places, especially in America, we're all percentage based. So the store says, no matter how much you make, we take 20%. That's the rent to be here, but that's your room over there. You can fill it from morning till night if you can. And I watched a lot of teachers go from, like, they would get their teaching job and then they just sit there in that empty room all day long waiting for somebody just to show up and be like, I'd like drum lessons. And I was out at every junior high school, every high school, doing clinics for free. And then I would hand out flyers for one free gift certificate for one free lesson. And I was going to the malls and I'd just stand in the middle of the mall with 1,000 flyers and just be like, one free gift or one free lesson, come on down. And I was in a very different dominating mindset. I lost a lot of friends through that mindset. And I would say in the last couple of years, I've just made this switch from a hunter to a farmer. And I kind of want to go into that with you just so hopefully some of our students will understand. Most of the business podcasts that I listen to, I can actually find adjectives that they're using about business that relate to hunting. So, and by the way, this is not a, I'm not a vegan. So this is not a, you know, like, do whatever you want.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm dying for a piss and I'm really enjoying this conversation, right?
Go.
And
you're
about to go deep. So I want to just be able to enjoy it without 2 seconds.
So Eddie's bathroom break was brought to you by Hunter versus Farmer. I was just mentioning that, like, do whatever you do. That's not what this is about. But if you think about the adjectives that are used in business, they are very similar to adjectives used in hunting. So we have to trap something, to ensnare, to pursue, to track down, you know, chase this opportunity. You're the predator, they're the prey. All of that world, you got to kill this. You got to absolutely kill this. Just, you know, take your time, zero in on your target and kill it. That to me, when I hear those podcasts, I'm like, slow down, bro. Like, easy, easy. You sound like someone that does startups. When I'm thinking about a business, I'm not thinking about a startup mentality of like, how can I grow this within 12 months and then be acquired by some bigger company and cash out? When I think about teaching drums, I want to do this until the day I die. So that is not my mindset. When you think about the adjectives that go with farming, you're planting a seed, you're growing something, you're fertilizing it, you're tilling the soil, cultivation, gathering, planning for the next season. So mindset-wise, as a business person, I want to be a farmer, not a hunter. I don't want to kill it. I don't want to zero in on my target and destroy it. I want to think about what's coming next. I want to plant the seed and know, like, hey, I talked to you on the phone about drum lessons 6 months ago and you just signed up today. It's like, yeah, but I also talked to 40 other people that same week and they just signed up in the last couple of weeks. And then I did this video on YouTube that got 1,000 views in the first month. I thought it was dead. And then all of a sudden it started to catch fire and it started to build and grow. And then those people eventually wanted more. So they signed up for my website and those people wanted more. So they eventually came to a drum camp. And so I think if you can turn your mindset from a hunter into a farmer and you can cultivate something, you can grow something, you can plant the seed, all of a sudden everything becomes a lot more positive and less about killing it and dominating, where it's like, you can't dominate. Someone will always come along and be better than you. But what you can do is take a specific individual and say, look, I care about your growth and I'm going to plant that seed right now. And I hope that eventually you'll trust me with your education. You can do that any day of the week without having to crush the people around you.
Yeah. And plus as well, that's a great way of putting it, by the way, but it's interesting, man. Like every time, cause I listen to a hell of a lot of podcasts and they're mostly about business and, you know, entrepreneurs and stuff, just cause I find it really interesting. And I'm really interested in business and things like that. And I every time I listen to these podcasts, I'm like, yep, that won't work in the drum industry. Yep, that won't work.
Totally.
And that's, you know, when I reached out to you, I was in this mindset of like, okay, I need this to work because I've put so much into it. I don't have a band anymore, which I chose to not have a band anymore. This is what I want to do, but it needs to work. You know, I need to be making X amount for me to do it. And it was so hard. And I think like that's the mindset that I'm now in is a lot. I mean, I'm more confident, calmer mindset now of like, well, this is how I'm going to do it. This is me. And this is what's going to enable me, like you said, to be in that sort of farmer state of mind, which is do something in order to do it for the rest of my life. Do you know what I mean?
Long term. Yeah, you don't farm and like, man, I hope that this strawberry grows by tomorrow because I'm going to dominate
that thing.
It's like, okay, like you're planting and being like, well, I'll come back in 6 months and see how that's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was in a sort of like, I guess you could call it sort of like desperate mindset of like, I really want this to work. So I'm going to give everyone this and more of that. And they've only signed up for this, but I'm going to give them double that. And it got to the point where I couldn't keep up.
You can't maintain it.
Yeah, I couldn't maintain it. And I was giving away far too much than what I was charging essentially. And it was just like this crazy kind of mindset. And it's just so interesting now, like looking back in the mindset that I'm now in, that
you're becoming a farmer instead of a hunter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And I fully understand. Like, and by the way, I'm telling you my personal preference, listeners. I'm not telling you to stop being a hunter. Like, I don't know what you do. I can't imagine you taking the hunter versus farmer argument to Wall Street and being like, guys, we just need to be farmers. They would be like, okay, you are jumping out that window now.
But you can be a farmer that doesn't stop and is, you know, a hustling farmer, you know,
like, absolutely. Like, I'm a relentless farmer.
Exactly. That's exactly what you are. And you can be like that. And I think because take the sneaker thing, for example, everyone else in the sneaker industry that we're in is just, you know, show this, flex that, do this, like,
yes,
show off, be this sort of cool person. And we are the opposite. And I keep on saying, you know, to my partner in that, mate, it's all about the long game. Like let's show our faces. Let's talk to these people, you know, let's do it the right way. Like you can do things the right way.
And long game. Yeah,
but like be a farmer. Okay. I love that.
I got to tell you, man.
Farmer.
I'm gonna kill this farmer game. So I have to say your long game is paying off. So I do separate. By the way, you are allowed to say your company's name. Like, it's not competing. I'm not starting a shoe company. So mention your company.
Yeah, it's just called Paragon. Paragon without the O. We sell shoes and then we have like a sneaker membership, which helps people get shoes. And yeah.
So I started following you guys. I mean, not right away. Like, it was probably maybe 3-4 months ago. Your social media all of a sudden about 3 or 4 months ago started to really align. Then you guys got the new studio and your social media aligned even more. And I don't see it as Eddie's store because you're not the face of it. Mm. So it's, you just happen to be one of the accounts that I'm following. And so yesterday, the planting of the seed finally worked. I went to your store for the first time.
Oh, really?
Naturally, 100% naturally. It was just like, I saw the shop now and I was like, those are kind of cool Jordans. Clicked on it, scrolled through everything you had. And it was like, I almost, I almost pulled the trigger on a few pairs. Woo-hoo! And so, but so that's like, that's what it is like, I know that that's going on in the background. I know that somebody that saw my YouTube video 6 years ago just landed on mikeslessons.com today for the very first time. And they're like, okay, I've been growing to trust this guy over a long time. I remember just being so frustrated with the term, like, who's ready to smash it in 2020? And I'm like, so what does that mean for 2021? Are you done smashing it? I don't want to do that. I want to be planting seeds in 2006 that finally grow and I can finally kind of reap the benefits from 2006 when 2021 gets here. And I've had that so many times where a camper comes here and says, yeah, I started watching your video. I think it was how to play double bass with one foot. It was like, oh, okay, that was 2006. Like, yeah, yeah, I started watching you then. And I kind of got into the drums, out of the drums, and then saw your new stuff and really liked the quality. And yeah, I just wanted to spend a week here at camp. And like, okay, so that was a 15-year long play. 15 years. But it's like, yeah, but if I have 1,000 of those that pay off over the course of 15 years, it, you know, like, yeah, it's a good year. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I think that that's the mindset that we as creatives need to take. And like I said, and like you said, actually, excuse me, the things that you could do mindset wise in the sneaker business are so different than the drum world. We are such like more of a hippie culture.
Yeah.
A supportive culture. A very holy schnappa. We are a very sensitive culture.
Yeah. I think that's
like
what,
literally, as soon as somebody does matte black shiplap, I'm like, why are you coming at me, bro? And they're like, dude, you did steal it from Joanna Gaines on Fixer Upper. I'm like, well, you don't know that.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, I saw pictures of you and your wife in Texas. And I'm like, okay, maybe.
Yeah, man.
We're a very sensitive culture.
And I think that's what got in, that's what confused my mindset. You know, I was like overthinking things that I shouldn't be overthinking and like overanalyzing it. And now my mindset is a much slower one. Like you said, just plant that seed and just do your thing. And just, you know, the drum game, for those who are listening who want to be like, maybe have an online membership or be a teacher or be an artist, it is the long game. You've just got to just get your head down and just do your thing and don't let any of these sort of like confusing things mess with your mindset. Cause yeah.
Well, you and I talked about it off the podcast. I think it was yesterday when I just started shouting at you in a voice note about it, like, I was like, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I want to do. I don't want to make short little videos anymore. Like, I like to teach over the course of 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And, you know, and what I was telling Eddie about, for those of you that are listening a few days after we record this, is I made my first tuning video for YouTube. And when I was done editing it, and I edit linear, so I edit from front to back. I don't keep going back to the beginning. I edit all the way till the end. And when I got to the end, it was 16 minutes long. And I was like, damn, that is way too long for YouTube. I make 5-minute videos. And then I thought, no, it's not too long. It took me 16 minutes to explain this. That's how long it would be if you sat in a room with me and I taught you how to take the drum head off and I taught you how to check the bearing edge for any imperfections. I taught you how to seat the head, make sure that it's not, you know, touching the wrap and all of that stuff and how 1960s drums differ from modern drums. That's how long it takes. Mm-hmm. And I want the students that are willing to listen to that. And so when I was done editing that and I pressed render, I jumped on the phone to Eddie and I was like, bro, I'm done. The last two videos I made was Lick of the Week 1, Lick of the Week 2. I have not checked in on those since I posted them because it's like that didn't fill my heart with any satisfaction. There's no joy in that to me. It's like I truly don't think in Lick of the Week terms.
Yeah.
I never look for that. So it's like, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to make the content that I want to make because it makes me happy. And yes, maybe the numbers will be lower on a 16-minute tuning video than they will on Lick of the Week 2. But who cares? Those numbers will be denser with the people that I want to attract to my business. And it's the long game, like we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly, mate. And you say that, like, I love watching a long video on whatever on YouTube. You know, I think it's just, yet again, it's that mindset of like, okay, I'm doing a YouTube video. So I'll get in the mindset of being, of doing a YouTube video, which is shorter, you know, concise,
get to
play the algorithm, get to the point, keep people engaged. And it's like, when you're actually just in the mindset of like whatever makes you happy and what is ever fulfilling you, in whatever way, shape or form, then it always shines through.
Totally.
I remember doing that when I started filming lessons. My lessons started off as like basically vlogs, you know, like,
yeah.
I remember I looked back and I was like, I filmed like a 45 minute lesson, right? Mate, 45 minutes this video was.
Third memory card.
Literally. And it was like, it was me talking in my car about something. And then it was me talking about this, like doubles into singles. And it was 45 minutes long. And then I looked back just before I paused the membership. And my videos got down to like, you know, 6-7 minutes. Because I kept on asking people, what is it you want? How do you learn best? Comparing to others, you know, like trying to putting theory up, even though I didn't read theory. And I was just like, what am I? This, like, I am now producing something that I wouldn't watch myself. I am now producing something that I wouldn't consume, you know? And that,
exactly.
And it's just, yeah, it's that mindset of being in, well, being in the wrong mindset.
Yeah. And I think we all fall, you know, victim to that at certain times of just, okay, well, I want Meinl to just randomly check in on my YouTube channel and be like, oh, cool. His newest video has X amount of views and that makes him valuable to us. I understand that. I definitely understand that from people that are still growing in the industry and trying to get their first endorsements, trying to get their first clinics, trying to get in a band. But I'm just telling you from the outside looking in, it doesn't work for me anymore. I don't want to do it. It doesn't make me excited. As soon as I do not tell Amber this, but I sent the voice note to you. Then I told the same thing to Amber. So you came before her on that one. But as soon as I said that to the two of you, I just kind of felt like a huge weight had been lifted off my shoulder. Cause it's like, I just committed to, I'm going to make the content that I want to make. And if it does well, great. And if it doesn't, it still does well, because I was telling this to Amber, you know, like, we have a theater called the Crest Theater. And I was saying like, how many people do you think the Crest Theater holds? And, you know, when you think about this theater that we've been to sold out, it's like, it's 1500 people. That sounds like such a small number of views on YouTube. But when you put yourself in a 1500 seater and look around, it's like, wait, this many people watched 16 minutes of tuning.
Yeah.
So yeah, 1500 people is a massive number. If you can visualize what 1500 people looks like, the problem is our minds are so warped by the numbers, by the TikTok, Instagram style numbers of like, oh, 40,000 views in a day. And it's like, easy. 40,000 people saw 3 seconds of your video. That's a little different than 1,500 sticking around for 16 minutes.
Honestly, the mindset that I, as the older I get, the more experience I have as being like a quote unquote professional musician or professional creative person or whatever, or just self-employed, you know, working for myself.
Self-employed.
The more I visualize and always see that picture that I've never forgotten about, but have forgotten the name of. It's that image that I've said before. There's four faces that are identical and it's a drawing. And then the top left, you've got a miserable guy and he's got a huge brain. And then as the brain gets smaller, the smile gets bigger. And honestly, man, I'm just like, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of smart people on paper listening to this thinking, what are you on about? But when it comes to being creative, doing what you enjoy for a living, sometimes for me anyway, it's the less you think, the better. Just say what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Do what you want to do. Film how you want to film. And it will always shine through. The minute you start getting in that mindset of, oh, I've got to do this because this is what people are going to want, or this is what people are going to want to listen to, or this is what people are going to want me to say or not say, you know, it just gets ridiculous. Like I remember getting the mindset of like, you know, I can't talk about, you know, making money, because it's hard to make money as a drummer. So then I just always stayed away from these certain topics and conversations. And I remember just thinking, you know what? If I listen to a podcast or watch a YouTube video, not this podcast, we actually have spoken about money, but I would love to hear a drummer talk about money and tell me, you know, this is how much you make on a gig, or this is how hard
it is. You know how hard it is to pull out of a drummer, hey, so what do you charge per song? Oh, you know, it's always different. I'm like, okay, it is. Well, how much did you charge Adele for the first song on the album? And how much did you charge her for the third song on the album? Why don't you just tell me that? Because I'm sure that number was the same.
And it's, you know, and let's just, you know, and like drummers, you know, you've we all want to make a living, so you've got to charge for stuff. It just happens, you know what I mean?
Totally, and it is a weird thing. And I think there's an embarrassment on both sides. Well, I don't want to tell you that I did this track for $100 because that's embarrassing for how much work it was, and I should have been paid more. And I also don't want to tell you that I made $10,000 off this track because I know that you'll think that's an insane amount of money, but when you think about the fact she's going to make $2 million off it, it's not much.
It's
always like a little bit of an imbalance. I fully understand that, but it is a taboo topic in the drum world. And that's kind of why you and I talked about this a lot because we ran into some people during your membership site, and I've done it quite a few times, where the problem with the membership is you can see how much the membership costs. So my membership is $29.99. Mm. All you have to do is times that by the number of students I have, and then you know my income, and then you either hate me for some weird reason, or you're just like, oh, I thought it'd be better, you know, like, and you and I ran into that at clinics because we used to talk about where somebody would say, how many students do you have?
Oh, I'm like, God, mate.
I don't know. And they're like, well, no, I mean, just take a guess because I need to know how much you make. And it's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a $7 t-shirt. Does that give you a hint?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. I don't know what to tell
you. And it's like, but we have it in the sneaker thing massively. We get people DMing us being like, how many members you got in your membership? And I'm like, that doesn't matter. It's not going to affect how you are going to enjoy this membership or the value you're going to get from it. Or, you know, we will still be putting the same amount of effort if we have 100 members or five. It doesn't make a difference, you know?
It's a weird thing.
It is a weird thing, man. And I just think, you know, there's so many things that will pop into your head which will confuse you and put you in this unhealthy state of mind or frustrating mindset. And I think, honestly, man, sometimes when you're a creative person and you work for yourself, just the less you think, the better, man.
Yeah, I agree. And now we know you're slowly becoming a farmer.
Oh, mate, that analogy is beautiful. It's so true. And like I said, you can be a farmer, a hustling farmer, mate. A farmer who does not stop.
Yeah. I'm a farming hustler. Okay, so moving on. Mindset for events. We'll get through this kind of quick, but you've got an event coming up. I've got an event coming up. And then eventually you and I are doing an event together. AJ's Drummer's Odyssey Camp. You and I have the 2022 UK Drum Show coming up. I've got more camps coming up. So the mindset for the event, because it's a single thing, let's just say your upcoming event, which will be you teaching 3 1-hour classes. I've got a 1-hour clinic in Alabama and followed by a concert. I can't plant the seed. I can't fertilize it. I have to show up and do my job and it's over in an hour. And it's like, well, that was my, or 45 minutes. There's my 45 minute set. Yeah. So the mindset for that is slightly different. I don't go into hunter mode. Like I don't zero in on my target and shoot it in the face. That's not how I attack these things, but it is much different than my mindset for long-term business growth. What about you?
Yeah. I said it before. It's like the inner McGregor comes out sometimes. You know, I've just got the inner McGregor. Yeah, I go through this weird roller coaster, mate, of like, you know, imposter syndrome. Why they asked me? You know, this. Am I going to be doing
it? They must have gone far down the list to get to old Mike Johnston.
It's like everyone else must have been busy.
Totally.
Everyone must have been busy.
That's always my first question. Like, oh, Benny couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Same. Like, why are you calling me?
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, you want the sort of funny, annoying English guy. Okay, yeah, that's where I come in, right? Yeah, funny to look at. But yeah, no, it's like I go through this weird roller coaster of just like, okay, why me? And then I'm like, well, this is what I'm going to do and I'm going to smash it. But then it's like, as soon as I've done whatever I've done, one, I never smash it and I never feel like I smashed it. But then afterwards, it's just this sense of just like, back to the first point of, did I smash it? Oh my! Was that good? It's just this constant like doubt.
Yeah.
But it is different because I definitely go in the mode of like, right, I'm gonna go up there and my inner Conor McGregor is gonna get me through it. And
I think that there's nothing wrong with having that kind of fight or flight mentality of, well, this thing is happening. At some point, they'll say, please welcome Eddie Thrower. And you're like, well, we're not getting out of it now.
maybe a little bit nervous then. But hearing that.
If you want, I can forge some documents and get you a positive COVID test to get you out of it. Be like, oh, I so want to go, but I can't.
Man, I was thinking I was thinking doing the whole, Rowan has tested positive and she's been, you know, she's the app is pinged telling her to stay at home. So probably means I should.
Yeah. I think that for me, the mindset that goes into events is twofold. One, they asked me to be there, to be me. So what is it that makes me me? I think that's the first thing, is I kind of go into the discovery of, as weird as this is, I actually go through my Instagram feed, my personal one, and scroll through and think, well, these are the things they must have seen before they called me. I go through my YouTube feed. These are the things they've seen in the last year before they called me. What is that? Because I don't know. I'm doing it. So I don't know what the hell it is. I'm just doing what I do. So I think about that. And then the other thing I think of is, if it's an event like what you and I are doing, where you know, you've got Steve White. Who else is on the one you're doing?
Craig Blundell.
Craig Blundell. I mean, Craig's a legend in the UK, or he's definitely a legend in America as like a UK drummer. That's kind of, he's on every event. He can kind of play everything. Yeah. Like, oh, we need somebody to play a Roland kit for 7 hours. Get Craig, he'll do it.
He's
just ripping and he's doing it and he's killing it. So I think that in a situation like that, then I'm instantly thinking, what can I bring to the table that's different than these people? And so, you know, I think about, like, for mine, I think about Will Kennedy and what he's going to bring. And it seems silly for me to go up there and teach fusion and, you know, and 6/8 patterns and all these things where it's like, dude, he's a legend at that stuff. I mean, he really is. If I was going to take lessons, I don't know, maybe it'd be from Will Kennedy. Oh my God, I am taking lessons from him. So it's like, why would I teach what he's going to teach? But I try to think, like, what can I bring that's unique? And then I try to think, can I bring that, whatever that is? Let's say it's linear drumming, just because I've taught that so much in the past. Can I bring a unique perspective to this thing? And I think you do that really well with, like, hey, here's a topic. It's this specific rudiment. Everyone in the room knows it. So all I can do is show you the lens that I view that through, and hopefully it sparks something for you where you go, wow, I've never thought about that. Like, I don't know, whenever our podcast that we talked about tuning was, before I made this YouTube video, I got a lot of people that reached out afterwards saying, like, I've never thought to tune for feel on the top head and tune for pitch on the bottom head. Mm. And it's like, cool. Well, you've watched 1,000 tuning videos. I'm glad that no one ever brought that up to you. And so I'm always just trying to think, is there anything unique I can bring to the common information? And if you can do that, then you have something to offer. If you try to invent something that's never been done, likely you're going to fail. And especially when it comes to clinics and masterclasses, if you don't have that information mastered yourself, you're going to be embarrassed. So if you try to work something up for this clinic that you've never done before and think that just somehow when the pressure's on, you're going to be able to explain it with like one of those Madonna headset mics and like, all right, let me play this thing that I can't play in a room by myself, but I'm sure I'll be able to do it here while speaking to you. Bruh.
Sounds like a nightmare, mate.
Dude, not a fair bit of kit that.
No, not a fair
like,
bit.
It's over. Yeah, it is over. So it's like, okay, well, I've got this thing down. I can actually speak to a crowd while doing it. So my mindset for an event like that is, one, preparation equals relaxation. The more I prepare for it, the more relaxed I'll be. Simple as that. That never changes. And two, what can I bring to this situation that is a unique way of viewing something that everyone already knows? And that's a really big thing, is if I'm talking about implied metric modulation, I've already alienated 80% of the audience, because before I even get into it, they don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Mm. But if I'm talking about a FLAM, everyone in the room starts off knowing what I'm talking about. And now I can go into like, well, here's how I use FLAMs, and here's a different way to try to work with your FLAMs, and here's a way that they can add texture to your playing that maybe you haven't thought of yet. And then it's like, oh, we're all on board for that, because we all know FLAMs and we want to know what the hell he does with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
sorry
thing,
that I'm yelling at you, bro.
No, mate, I love it. I love
it. I get fired up.
Yeah, mate, same. Another thing that I try to do and prepare myself and put myself in the mic. Shimony, I'll go again with that one. One thing that I try to do before events, right, is put myself in the mindset of the audience.
Dude,
do you know what
amen,
I mean?
Brother Ben, shy goose, like, killed a hen, let's eat.
The reason why I did a little rewind there is because I wanted to put the word mindset in to, like, you know, you know,
tie it all together.
Yeah, oh, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Pro podcaster.
Pro podcaster. Yeah,
that's literally one of the things, like thinking about it, that's something that really, really helps me. Like this camp, or this day of teaching that's coming up next week, I would be doing that. I would be literally driving there thinking, these guys just want to see someone play drums, show them something cool, and that's it. That is literally it. The rest is just added extra. So if I inspire them to go play for an extra hour, that's a bonus. If I inspire them to join a band, that's an extra bonus. If I inspire them to post on Instagram, that's an extra bonus. You know what I mean? It's just like,
totally
put yourself in the mindset. I've never watched a gig, no matter how bad it is, and thought, I'm hating my life right now. Even if it's a band I don't enjoy. I've never watched someone play drums and gone, God, I'd much rather be in school. You know what I mean?
Man, like, how weird is that? That, like, I mean, we just walked up on a live band. So in my little tiny town that I just sent you a picture of, there's a little amphitheater open to the public. And on the last day of camp, we were walking around, or I guess the day before last day of camp, we were walking around all the campers and there was a live band playing. And, you know, it's like, I know that that drummer is now being stared at by 9 drummers. And one of those drummers is me. And I take it very seriously. Not once was his drumming on my mind in a judgmental way.
Mate,
it was kind of like, and even if it was the, like, you know, a drummer that just couldn't play, I would just immediately switch to like cool snare tone.
Yeah.
15-inch hi-hats. Like,
so
I can always
funny.
Analyze it in some way, but I'm never judging it.
Mate.
But we think when we're on the kit, everyone's judging us.
Exactly. Even at a clinic, you know, that there's a room full of drummers and you think everyone is overanalyzing me and all they are doing is watching and enjoying. No one is actually overanalyzing anything.
And even the people that are like, I don't really like this person's drumming. Like I said, they switch over to like 14x6.5. No, 14x5.5. They start nerding out on the gear because I'm not really. Like if I was watching a metal drummer, it's not my thing, but I'm not going to sit there and be like sloppy on the singles ever. It would never even occur to me. I just start thinking like, I'm going to go to the side. I want to see how tight the tension is on those pedals.
Yeah.
You know, like longboards, going longboards. I mean, I would just go into gear nerd mode and I would almost like the drumming would just get faded down on the mixing board and I would just be in like gear mode. And so I think that the mindset for events, you said it perfectly, like put yourself in the position of the attendees. What are they there for?
Yeah.
They're, you know, and also it does help when there's other players on the festival or on the gig or whatever it is, because it's like, okay, well, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that because that guy's here or that girl's here. And so it just kind of narrows it down for you. So be yourself, put yourself in the mindset of the attendees.
It's same on social
Bring
media.
Something original. Oh my gosh.
Mate, it's like
totally.
Everyone when they're recording a video for Instagram is like, oh my God, is this good? Is this good? And then you edit and you go, no, it's not good. And then you export the video and then you try to upload it and you go, God, this is awful. And then you realize that everyone just enjoys it for what it is, you know. And
I just watched a full minute. I think it was Madden class. I know it was Madden class, but I think it was like maybe the day she swapped heads or something. But literally it was a full minute and she said, found this on my phone, swapped heads 6 months ago. Ha ha. And like all she's doing is going around the drums to check the tuning, but
yeah, I saw
kinda
that,
like chopping it up.
Yeah.
And I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
She wasn't even performing. She was just like checking out her kit. And I don't remember if that's exactly what it was, but she wasn't playing for Instagram.
Yeah,
she just had her phone on while she was checking something out. And I was like, yep, watched every second.
Mate.
Awesome. There we go.
That's the way.
We need to take the pressure off ourselves. Maybe you out there need to take the pressure off yourselves and know that we've got your back. And if you get 2 likes, it'll be from Mike and Eddie.
Yep. There we go, boy.
There we go. Episode 49. I don't want it to end.
I know, even do I, mate. I just checked the time. Oh, mate, that's a revelation for me. That is the mindset of the of the viewer or the attendee or whatever. It's so true because, you know, every time I watch a video, even if it's shot on a phone and it's just like I've got nothing from it, I never sort of just go, oh, I regret watching that. Or
I've never moved to negativity. That's never happened when I watch somebody do their thing. I've only moved to negativity when you're lying to me. Like, really struggling today on my singles and you play a blazing single stroke roll. And I'm like, that's your 75th take to pretend
cool.
that you're, why don't you show me the struggle, pal? you know, so it's like, okay, if you're tricking me, if you're trapping me, if you're ensnaring me, if you're pursuing me like a hunter, if you're deceiving your prey, if you're being a predator, that's all the notes I had.
No, that was good. Then, yeah. That was great. Talking about farmers, have you ever you watched Top Gear when it was on?
I did.
You know Jeremy Clarkson.
Jeremy. Yeah. He's got the barn, man. Mate, he's got the setup.
I'm watching it at the minute. Clarkson's farm. It is amazing. Oh, I swear to God, mate. That's going to be me when I'm like 65.
That's the hustling farmer.
Yes.
That's a baller farm, dude.
The Lamborghini truck, mate. The Lamborghini.
So good.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
And I mean, Jeremy's, I love him just because he just says it like it is.
He does. But mate, it's so funny. Talking about mindset, right? It was so funny. I was watching this last night and I was listening to it. And I remember just thinking, he is just in the mindset of just like, just the of Jeremy Clarkson. Like, says what he's not overthinking. It was so funny, mate. I was thinking this yesterday when watching it. I guarantee you, when they press record, nothing changes. He says the same thing. He talks the same. And he's just effortless. And it was just like, oh man, yeah.
That's something we all have to work on, is keeping that mindset from who we are throughout the day into the moment where the red light's on and we've pressed record, you know, and being able to do that. And I think that's one thing that I really appreciate about this medium, and the reason why I wanted to do a podcast, especially with you, but over the course of an hour and 40, so it's 49 hours now that people have hung out with us, you kind of know the real us. I can't hide it for an hour, you know, like at some point the F-bombs start flying and I'm like, what the fuck? but you get the real us. And for all of you that are listening, if you've spent the last hour with us, thank you. We appreciate it. I hope that this has offered you new ways to go about having your own mindset, especially if you're doing it in the world we're doing it in. This is not how to start a business in Silicon Valley or how to start a business on Wall Street or in London. This is our approach to the drum industry, which is a very, very unique industry. And Eddie and I talk about it away from the podcast constantly, how the things that we know about business, unfortunately, they just won't work in the drum industry. We have to approach this a little bit differently. So hopefully some of you will consider putting down the rifles and picking up the rake and become farmers.
I'm such
a farmer, I couldn't think of a tool that farmers used.
Lamborghini truck.
Get your Lambo truck.
Tractor.
You can be a hustling farmer. Yeah,
tractor.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
We're farmers. All right, everybody, have an amazing day. If you can, please head on over to iTunes and rate and review this podcast. If you'd like to step up the support a little bit more, we would absolutely appreciate you becoming a patron. patreon.com/drumwithmikeandeddie. You can find the link in the description. But for now, episode 49 is in the can.
Bye. Here we go, mate. Boom.